Accession number 14835, Reel 3.
Mr. Hamer, Reel 3. I think you actually left Germany to come back to the UK in January 46.
That's correct. A group of us, I was posted, and six or eight of us who were not yet posted, being rather younger than I, were posted to Chicksands. And we boarded a train at Schleswig on a bitterly cold, icy morning. There were few doors on the railway coaches because probably been blown off in enemy action, I should think, and we had wire netting over the doors, no heating. And we sat there pretty frozen and endured, I think it was about 28 hours on this train. But we did get a little bit of heating through after a while. We stopped at one or two places. Minden was one, a great city of Minden, where we got a very heterogeneous meal of porridge, bacon, egg, jam and sausage and toast all on one plate, which we devoured with relish, and a mug of hot tea, which was great. And then we went to Blankenberg, where we had our German money converted into English money, as long as we hadn't a vast amount of black market money, which some lads had, and they were put on one side. I don't know what happened to them, shot maybe or something. Then we went forward. And we then got on the on a ferry boat, and we sailed to Dover, which was the first time we'd ever sailed to Dover on leave. We were in a great red brick warehouse, probably to do with the railway or the customs. And we slept great bunks in every room there. The following day, the lads went on to Chicksands, awaiting the mob, which came to them fairly soon after that. And I went on to a little place. I didn't see any village or anything, but it was called Stapleford Tawney, which was a kitting out place for demobilised airmen. And we went through quite a large number of warehouses, were asked for our sizes, and we received a pair of shoes and socks. We received some underwear, quite a decent worsted suit, a trilby hat, a raincoat, and various other little things which we had. And then I received a warrant, and I came home to Halifax, and that was it for myself. Having taken the names of all the wireless ops and the RT ops at Schleswig, I had a little notebook, and I wrote them when I got back, all of them, saying we were intending to have a reunion in Manchester at the Queen's Hotel in 1946, would you care to come? And about 28 said they would, and with a good turnout, it was great. I remember that bed and breakfast at the Queen's Hotel in Manchester was about £1, and a special dinner that we had was 7 and 6p, and they charged us a couple of pounds for flowers on the table, which we thought was exorbitant and not really necessary, but we didn't argue about it. Anyhow, that was reunion number one. It was lovely to see the lads, although we'd only met a few months beforehand. Of that 28 or so, about 12 or 14 very quickly fell by the wayside. Some never came at all. One or two came a few times after that. But we've just had our 47th at Ripon, and there were 12 of us there. And it was quite wonderful to talk, and we still talk about it all as if it was yesterday. The friendship that we built up on 382 Wireless Unit, it wasn't unique, I'm sure, but it was certainly very, very splendid. And we had amongst the operators there, whether it was due to chance or choice of selection, I don't know, a wonderful group of men. And we all took to one another, and those friendships have maintained. We've been to one another's homes, we've holidayed together. And the whole thing has been kept very, very alive. We've lost by death 4 or 5 of our members, and the remainder of us meet every year. We're looking forward to our 50th, which will be next year. It was our 49th, this last one. It'll be our 50th, won't it? Exactly 46 we were, the first one. So we're going back to Ripon again, to the Spa Hotel there, which looked after us wonderfully. And it's been a very important part of our lives, not just the service that we had, but the years intervening. The friendships have been very real and very valuable.
Going back to the demob suits, what were they like?
My demob suit, in common with many of them, was a navy blue with a coloured cotton stripe in it. Quite acceptable, decent suit, three-piece, trousers, waistcoat and coat. You wouldn't get a waistcoat today, I don't suppose. The Macintosh was a decent quality. The Trilby hat I wore for a while, but not for long. And we were well done, too. I think that if all demobbed men and women were treated as well as I was, we couldn't grumble. It was OK.
After the First World War finished, there was quite a lot of high-flown talk about a land fit for heroes to live in. Was there anything of the same atmosphere when the Second World War finished, do you recollect?
Not particularly. I did sense quite a strong feeling from a certain group of lads whom I met both on boats and knocking about that they did look down a little on what they thought had been an unfair meeting out of national assets to ordinary men and women prior to the war. And as I've already said, I do recall that there was a pretty strong socialist feeling amongst those whom I met, and indeed the election which preceded, which followed, I should say, the end of the war did prove that there was a big socialist majority, and that was it. But as regards a land for heroes to live in, I don't feel that that was felt at all. And the complete collapse of that feeling in 1918 onwards, I think, didn't lead to any credibility of its recurrence at the end of the last war.
Was there any difference in feeling or attitude between the services on the one hand and the civilians on the other?
I don't think so. I am not able to say what the feelings, national or political, were, particularly of civilians, apart from my own family and friends, whom I met on leave. There must have been a similar feeling about amongst the population, the civilians, because the election proved it. But there must have been this drawing away from what I would call traditional, conservative political ruling. And I felt it to be a strong element in conversation and feeling, immediately after the last war.
Did it last long?
No. It wasn't long, of course, before the government that came in immediately after the war felt that it was unable to carry on, really, and of course it didn't carry on, and the wartime leader returned as Prime Minister, which was a real swing back, really, to wartime leadership.